bit to rearrange things and the second half.
Okay, everyone. I'd like to introduce the group Chunk now. That's Sam Bennett and Tim Spilios and myself. We're going to play a piece called George, the words to which were written by Georges Bataille and rearranged by a special feedback mechanism known only to the roulette engineers.
And the same to you.
Everything takes place in a fiery penumbra. Its meaning suddenly withdrawn. The earth lies prey to some incomprehensible wrong. Silent, fugitive, exalted. A nightmare is my truth and nakedness. I'm all by myself. Rejected. But I know satisfaction doesn't satisfy us, and that humankind's glory is its awareness of not knowing anything but glory and non-satisfaction. Someday my tragedy will know completion, and I'll die. To call up to the stage out of retirement for a special benefit for the Opera Singers Rehabilitation Program, Halfway House, Miss Judith Renlay, to join us in the piece entitled Cantarelle's Garden. Cantarelle exists in the novel by Raymond Roussel, Locus Solus.
And his garden is outside of Paris, is filled with all sorts of very bizarre contraptions and apparatuses that he's devised. Cantarelle's garden.
At 5 months old, Richard Wagner, asleep in his mother's arms, prompts a charlatan to make a characteristic prediction. Wrapped in strangest fashion. Over quite an extensive area, human teeth were placed at intervals in all directions. Near the paving beetle, the teeth were densely grouped so as to form a picture as yet unfinished by the alternation of their colors alone. The whole represented a reader drowsing in a dark crypt, sprawled out on the bank of a subterranean pool. A tenuous puff of smoke, begotten by the sleeper's brain, showed, as if in a dream, 11 young men half crouching, stricken with terror, inspired by an almost transparent aerial globe, which traced out a light shadow on the ground, enclosing a dead bird and itself seeming to be the goal of a white dove soaring above it. An ancient book lay closed beside the warrior, lit up faintly by a torch planted upright in the crypt's floor. Suddenly, of its own accord, the paving beetle rose into the air and, propelled by a gentle breeze, made a slow, straight flight of some 15 feet, alighting not far from us upon a smoker's tooth browned by tobacco. Beckoning us on, Cantarell stepped over the cord and approached the apparatus. We all followed him, taking great care not to displace the scattered teeth, whose apparent disorder was undoubtedly the outcome of deep study. Cantarell drew our attention to the components of the aerial device. At that moment, the first mirror was catching the sun's image directly and throwing it full onto the second, while the third seemed to have no role to play. Soon our eyes were drawn to the bottom of the apparatus by the sound of a slight impact. The gray disc between the three claws had been thrust down by its rod, quickly joining the other, and now both were pressed tightly together. At the precise moment when they touched, the brown tooth lying beneath them left the ground and adhered to the back of the blue disc, obeying some mysterious magnetic attraction. To our ears, the two collisions appeared simultaneous. Solus.